Chapter 78. The Empress, who is tearful, the child weeping likewise. Napoleon takes the papers to the fire, thrusts them in, and watches them consume, then burns other bundles brought by his attendants. Napoleon, gloomily, better to treat them thus, since no one knows what comes, or into whose hands he may fall. Marie-Louise, I have an apprehension unexplained, that I shall never see you any more. Napoleon, dismiss such fears. You may as well as not. As things are doomed to be, they will be, dear. If shadows must come, let them come, as though the sun were due, and you were trusting to it. 'Twill teach the world its wrongs in bringing them. They embrace finally. Exeunt Napoleon, etc. Afterwards Marie-Louise and the child. Spirit of the years, her instinct forwardly is keen and cast, and yet how limited. True it may be they never more will meet, although to use the bounded prophecy I am dowered with the screen, that will maintain their severance would pass her own believing, proving it no gall grill, no scath of scorching war, but this persuasion, pressing on her pulse to breed aloofness and a mind averse, until his image in her soul will shape dwarfed as a far colossus on a plain, or figurehead, that smalls upon the main. The lights are extinguished, and the hall is left in darkness. Scene 3, the same. The apartments of the Empress, a March morning, verging on 7 o'clock, throws its cheerless stare into the private drawing room of Marie-Louise, animating the gilt furniture to only a feeble shine. Two chamberlains of the palace are there in waiting. They look from the windows and yawn. First chamberlain, here's a watering for spring hopes. Who would have supposed when the emperor left and appointed a regent that she and the regency too would have to scurry after in so short a time? Second chamberlain, was a course decided on last night? First chamberlain, yes. The Privy Council sat till long past midnight, debating the burning question whether she and the child should remain or not. Some were one way, some the other. She settled the matter by saying she would go. Second Chamberlain, I thought it might come to that. I heard the alarm beating all night to assemble the National Guard, and I am told that some volunteers have marched out to support Marmot. But they are a mere handful. What can they do? A clatter of wheels and a champing and prancing of horses is heard outside the palace. Meneval enters, and divers officers of the household. Then from her bedroom at the other end Marie-Louise, in a traveling dress and hat, leading the King of Rome, attired for travel likewise. She looks distracted and pale. Next come the Duchess of Montebello, Lady of Honor, the Countess de Montesquieu, ladies of the palace, and others, all in traveling trim. King of Rome, plaintively, why are we doing these strange things, Mama, and what did we get up so early for? Marie-Louise, I cannot, dear, explain. So many events enlarge and make, so many hours of one, that it would be too hard to tell them now. King of Rome, but you know why we are setting out like this? Is it because we fear our enemies? Marie-Louise, we are not sure that we are going yet. I may be needful, but don't ask me here. Sometime I will tell you. She sits down irresolutely and bestows recognitions on the assembled officials with a preoccupied air. King of Rome, in a murmur, I like being here best, and I don't want to go I know not where. Marie-Louise, run, dear, to Mama Quayu and talk to her. He goes across to Madame de Montesquieu. I hear that women of the royalist hope to the Duchess of Montebello have bent them busy in their private rooms with working white cockades these several days. Yes, I must go. Duchess of Montebello, but why yet, Empress dear? We may soon gain good news. Some messenger high from the Emperor or King Joseph hither. Marie-Louise, King Joseph I await. He's gone to eye the outposts, with the ministers of war, to learn the scope and nearness of the allies. He should almost be back. A silence, till approaching feet are suddenly heard outside the door. Ah, here he comes. Now we shall know. Enter precipitately not Joseph, but officers of the National Guard and others. Officers, long live the Empress Regent. Do not quit Paris, pray, Your Majesty. Remain, remain. We plight us to defend you. Marie-Louise, agitated, gallant messieurs, I thank you heartily. But by the Emperor's bidance I am bound. He has vowed he'd liefer see me and my son launched at the bottom of the smothering Seine than in the talons of the foes of France. To keep us sure from such, then, he ordained our swift withdrawal with the ministers towards the Loire, if enemies advanced in overmastering might. They do advance. Marshal Marmont and Mortier are repulsed, and that has come whose hazard he foresaw. All is arranged. The treasure is a wheel, and papers, seals, and ciphers packed therewith. Officers, dubiously, yet to leave Paris is to court disaster. Marie-Louise, with petulance, I shall do what I say. I don't know what shall I do. She bursts into tears and rushes into her bedroom, followed by the young king and some of her ladies. There is a painful silence, broken by sobbings and expostulations within. Re-enter one of the ladies. Lady, she's sorely overthrown. She flings herself upon the bed distraught. She says, My God, let them make up their minds to one or other of these harrowing ills, and forestall, and end my agony. An official enters at the main door. Official, I am sent here by the Minister of War to Her Imperial Majesty the Empress. Re-enter Marie-Louise and the King of Rome. Your Majesty, my mission is to say imperious need dictates your instant flight. A vanward regiment of the Prussian Pax has gained the shadow of the city walls. Menival, they are armed Europe's scouts. Enter Cambaciers the Arch-Chancellor, Count Beauharnais, Corvisart the Physician, de Bosset, de Canisy the Equerry, and others. Cambaciers, Your Majesty, there's not a trice to lose. The force well nigh of all compacted Europe crowds on us, and clamors at the walls. Beauharnais, if you stay longer, you stay to fall into the Cossacks' hands. The people, too, are waxing masterful. They think the lingering of Your Majesty makes Paris more a peril for themselves than a defense for you. To fight is fruitless, and wanton waste of life. You have not to do but go, and I, and all the counselors, will follow you. Marie-Louise, then I was right to say that I would go. Now go I surely will, and let none try to hinder me again. She prepares to leave. King of Rome, crying, I will not go. I like to live here best. Don't go to Rambouillet, Mama, please don't. It is a nasty place. Let us stay here. Oh, Mama Quayou, stay with me here, pray stay. Marie-Louise, to the equerry, bring him down. Exit Marie-Louise in tears, followed by ladies-in-waiting and others. De Canisy, come now, Monseigneur, come. He catches up the boy in his arms, and prepares to follow the Empress. King of Rome, kicking, no, no, no. I don't want to go away from my house, I don't want to. Now Papa is away, I am the master. He clings to the door as the equerry is bearing him through it. De Canisy, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.